You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, it wasn't the outcome Sacramento Republic FC fans wanted. The indomitable club fell short of the Jägermeister Cup final this weekend. But the moment isn't necessarily an entire loss. Republic FC competed at home in front of a sold-out crowd filled with pride.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. It's time to welcome out your Sacramento!
So despite the loss, this match was a milestone. It is the first pro sports championship played in Sacramento in over a decade, and just the third time the club has competed for a trophy in team history. And this comes on the heels of a new era for Sacramento soccer, new ownership, and breaking ground on a new stadium in the downtown Rail Yards District, with sites still locked in on that coveted MLS bid. So today we're going to go beyond the X's and O's on the field, because this momentum is bigger than soccer. For the city. CAP Radio reporter Chris Feltz and senior producer Sarit Lashinsky were at the Cup Final, and they join us with more. Hey, you two.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
Okay, so Sarit and I sit very closely together at work. Sarit is a huge soccer fan. So first things first, for those who don't follow soccer, what is the Jägermeister Cup and why is it such a big deal?
Yes. So the Jägermeister Cup is actually a pretty new competition when it comes to the world of U.S. soccer. It's completely separate from the regular season, the regular league that Sacramento plays in. It actually started last year for the third division, USL League One only. But this year, the competition expanded, so it includes all the teams now from League One, as well as the USL Championship, which includes both Sacramento and their opponents they played this weekend, Hartford Athletic. It's the first interleague competition between in American soccer, so that's two leagues facing off against each other. 38 teams, there was a group stage, and then the knockouts, which are the quarterfinal, the semifinal, and the final this weekend.
Okay, so Sac Republic is part of the USL League.
Yes, yeah. The Championship League.
How
yes.
long has Sac Republic FC been around? What has their trajectory been like?
So the team started in 2014. They played their first game. It was at Hughes Stadium in Land Park. That's at Sac City College. They later moved to what is now Heart Health Park on the grounds of Cal Expo. They actually won their league, the USL Championship, in their first season and have been just a regular powerhouse ever since. They're a constant presence in the playoffs. The team also had success in another major U.S. soccer competition. It's called the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It's very well known. We've talked about it before on Inside.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, the 2022 so-called Cinderella run. They beat three Major League Soccer teams along the way and became the first lower-level club to make the final since 2008, albeit they ultimately lost. The team is also very well known in the region for its efforts to join Major League Soccer. Those ambitions date all the way back to 2015. There were plans for this brand new stadium, the first brand new stadium, announced in 2019. MLS announced Sacramento as an expansion franchise shortly after that, and then the pandemic delayed their start date. The lead investor pulled out in 2021, and that bid kind of fell apart after that.
Yeah, it has been a tragedy and a saga, but there is movement, especially in the past year. Saturday was a sold-out crowd. When talking with the team, having them on the show, and just with fans in general, like, the fans at Sac Republic are a big deal, even just beyond Sacramento. So what was the energy like, Chris?
The energy was incredible. I think if you've ever been to anything Sacramento-related, you know how just nuts the fans are about their teams. And honestly, this was my first soccer game, actually. I went to FanFest earlier this year, covered that. But, you know, it was a friendly. I didn't really get all the, you know, the intricacies of the game. And I wasn't really paying attention to that. This one, I was able to really look at the, you know, game. And I was also able to speak with fans. So it was really incredible. And as a Sacramento native, I know how, like I said, I know how nuts they can get about their team. You know, everyone was hanging on every call when the refs, you know, felt like the refs were taking away from them and their team. We spoke with fans who were really hopeful about this game, including Kamiko Walker, who brought her youth soccer team from Sacramento United Soccer Club. All of them were really excited, and not just about the game, but the future as well.
We are feeling like we are taking home the Jägermeister Cup. Not a problem. We're very, very excited for kickoff. Ladies, how about you guys?
We think they're going to win, too.
Yeah.
Championship!
trip. Yeah. I mean, we have been Sacramento fans for years and years, and so we're very excited to be here yet again for another great game. Sacramento is such a great place. It's under, I want to say how underrated it is as a place, and we're very excited for the city, for the team, and we're really also excited for the new stadium. This is great. We're excited to be back in the championship where we belong.
We also spoke with Paul Filio and Kathy Lambert, who are our season ticket holders.
Well, it's kind of fun because being season ticket holders, we come to every game. And a game like this will have a little extra energy, a little bigger crowd. And so it's just a little different atmosphere than a regular season game.
We are loving the crowds and everybody's excited. And I think it's going to be an awesome game.
All right. Excited is the key word in bold, underline, highlighted. You could really hear how excited people are. I mean, fans for Sac Republic FC, they're known for their boisterous loyalty, as we just laid out. But give us a sense more of like the flavor. What was it like on Saturday?
It was incredible. It was electric. You can really feel the sound coming from the fans in either side of the stadium, and it was just really incredible. When I was taking photos of the actual game, I just felt this vibration behind me because that's where the drums were coming from, with the Tower Bridge Battalion, which is a major group of Republic fans. They've got their own dedicated section behind one of the goals. They marched into the stadium with drum lines, as you could hear in those clips, horns and chants, as well as a variety of flags. And here's some of them hyping up the crowd before the match started. And the production of the game just felt big league. It felt like a big game. And all the bells and whistles were out there, including a skydiver who parachuted with the game ball. And that was incredible
Fun.
To see. There was a photographer on the field who just started pointing their camera up into the sky. And I'm like, what's happening? I was not expecting that. And so it was just a really incredible environment to be in. There was fireworks going when the team was introduced and the fans roaring the name of each player as they were being introduced.
Unfortunately, Sac Republic ultimately lost 1-0 to Hartford Athletic. Why did they come up short, Sri?
So long story short, Sacramento just didn't generate enough on the offense. This has actually been an issue that's plagued them for the last couple of rounds. So this game was, to put it broadly, was a very big matchup of opposites. So Hartford came in. It was the highest scoring team in all the competition. They scored 14 goals leading into the night. Sacramento, on the other hand, has a really stout defense. So they played six games before the final. They only allowed one goal, which was their one loss. But Sacramento also failed to score in either the quarterfinal or the semifinal match. So they had to survive a couple penalty shootouts, which always go 50-50, had some goalkeeper heroics to keep them alive to get to this point. So just looking very, very broadly at the game, the first half is really back and forth. Hartford took a couple shots. Sacramento had a really good chance and a header bounced off the goal. So the halftime came, score is 0-0. Second half is when the game turned against Sacramento. Hartford scored in the 51st minute. That would ultimately be the deciding goal. And after that, Sacramento kind of turned on the jets. They were shooting a lot at the visitor's goal. All of it ended up being futile. The offense just didn't pan out. Sacramento, in the last couple minutes, the Republic had a player sent off because they got a red card. And then the final whistle blew, and that was it. The team's fate sealed.
Well, you know, there are still lessons in losses, you know, having played sports. What were the learning lessons from this match?
So we heard from first-year head coach Neil Collins. This is his first year leading Sacramento. He really didn't mince words about his team's performance. I talked to him ahead of the match about a week ago. He said they were really focused on the fundamentals. He wasn't too concerned about the scoring problem. He said if the match went to penalties for a third time, hopefully not, but we'll be there. But he offered up a very, very blunt assessment when asked whether the offense did enough on the night.
No, I don't think we did. I don't think there was going to be loads in the game. I think the first goal was going to be important. I felt at 0-0 at half time was fine, especially the way we finished the half. And I felt the longer the game would go, 0-0 would be good for us. Losing the goal still didn't concern me with 30, 35 minutes left. But then again, we just didn't execute well enough.
He said the messaging for his team right now is they need to just be honest with themselves. And they want to be competitive in these games. They need to learn why they didn't do well enough this time and take it from there. We also heard from Sacramento goalkeeper Jared Mazzola. He's had a really breakout performance. He's the one that kept the team alive in all the penalty shootouts. And he said the night was just difficult for him to process. Again, I talked to him a little over a week ago. He said he would be playing in front of his family, in front of his fiance. But he also focused on what the experience has been like for him. And here's what he told me.
I think that it's important to acknowledge the good moments just as we acknowledge the bad. That's the only way we can learn. And I'm very fortunate to have had these minutes. I'm very fortunate to have been able to put on for this city. And I'm just absolutely devastated that we weren't able to get over the line.
He also took ownership for letting in the one goal. He said it came off a corner kick. There was a lot of defense in the way, and it just slipped by him. But he also called it, it's a learning experience that he will take away.
Hey, we're human. So what did this final cup loss mean to fans? How did the energy after the match compare with all of that buildup and that excitement going into the final?
You could definitely feel it change over the course of the night. Sacramento, especially after Sacramento went down the goal, you heard the fans, they would boo or they would moo at Hartford because they accused them of milking the clock. It's this call that the Sacramento announcers do. They criticized the refs, as Chris mentioned, for calls that didn't go the team's way and just generally were urging them forward. When the final whistle blew, the fans kind of filtered out relatively quickly, a couple criticisms hurled here and there, and there was just this general sense of disappointment. You don't want to lose a final like this. You especially don't want to lose a final like this at home and to watch the opposing team celebrate and lift the cup in front of you because you didn't win. And I will say there was a small, very, very boisterous group of Hartford fans there. So ultimately, they were really reveling in the glory of that day. But ultimately, this is going to sting. But Sacramento still has a lot to play for this season.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Cap Radio reporter Chris Feltz and senior producer Sarit Lashinsky about Sacramento Republic FC. Okay, so as I led with off the top, the strides that Sac Republic has been making in recent years is bigger than soccer. It's part of the city's growth. So let's just recap some of the big moments over the past year alone. The club has new majority ownership, the Tribe Wilton Rancheria. How does this change the trajectory of the club, CJ? Why is this significant?
It's significant in the sense that it's putting more spotlight not only on the Wilton Rancheria and the Sac Republic, but just Sacramento sports in general. The more you're able to get into these situations, you're able to show that a fan base can still support a team like this. You got to remember, like, all this was happening when Aftershock was happening. Yeah. There were so many events happening over the last week, 2 weeks. It shows that Sacramento is a market that is, you know, can support these types of teams, whether it's the USL or it's the MLS or Sacramento in the MLB as well. I know there's been a lot of speculation on whether or not that's going to continue to happen. It's just another way to show how much Sacramento is able to support sports as well as other, you know, entertainment.
Tell us more about Wilton Rancheria. Is it common for a tribe to dive into sports in this way?
It's not incredibly common. Wilton Rancheria is actually the first federally recognized Native American tribe to have majority ownership in a men's professional sports team. The Mohegan tribe owns the Connecticut Sun, which is a WNBA team. And the Wilton Rancheria has really been getting into sports a lot lately, especially with their ownership with the team. They also announced sponsorship deals with the Sacramento A's as well as Sacramento State University earlier this year.
Yeah, that's like a lot of movement in the past year. Another big development that was years in the making, Sari touched upon this, but this is breaking ground on a new stadium in the downtown Rail Yards. So how will the stadium be different from Heart Health Park at Cal Expo?
So right now, the Wilton Rancheria and the Sacramento Republic actually rent the field at Heart Health Park. Cal Expo owns that. So they'll actually own their stadium and the ground underneath it. So that comes with all the other advantages of owning your stadium. Right now, the seating capacity is of Heart Health Park is around 12,000, which will be the same as the new stadium. But that can be expandable up to 20,000, which would meet MLS soccer requirements. The new stadium will also have luxury suites, upgraded fan amenities. They actually put out a survey earlier this year gauging what fans would want when it comes to food or Wi-Fi connectivity that would be upgraded to what they have now. I know another thing that fans really wanted out of that survey was a roof, especially with summer in Sacramento being as hot as it is. And so the construction of the stadium is expected to be completed in 2027. Along with that comes an entertainment district featuring housing, retail, office spaces, and a concert venue, which will hold up to 5,000 people. The stadium will cost around $175 million, and the entire downtown Rail Yards District project will be north of about $300 million.
Yeah, and it's important to note that this is going to be right up the street from DOCO and Golden One Center. So it just seems like this is going to continue to add and transform to the city center.
Yeah, in addition to the stadium, there's other things that are going to be happening in the downtown Rail Yards, including, like I said, housing, the entertainment district, as well as a new Kaiser Hospital. And, also the district has been sort of a site for a long time, whether it was MLS or it was the Sacramento A's and MLB coming, whether it's the A's or expansion team. So there's always sort of talk about what's happening in that area.
Yeah, yeah. Sacramento Republic has long wanted to join MLS Major League Soccer, as we talked about, and they've lost out on expansion bids over the years. So what do those chances look like now, Sarit?
So with the new stadium plan coming, as Chris mentioned, the expandability could be a benefit to join a bigger league. Obviously, this did not get talked about during the final, but Chris and I were at FanFest earlier this year. We spoke to a Sacramento Republic official, Dustin Vicari. He said back then, the plans are designed to meet the team's current capacity and the league they currently play in. So USL Championship, not MLS. He declined to comment at the time about whether they would definitively look to join like a top-tier league again. But Vicari did say, if the time comes, if the investment group comes along, if MLS comes back to them, Sacramento will have those discussions.
What does all this momentum mean to fans?
It's giving them a lot of excitement. They have a lot to look forward to. I was at a tailgate on Saturday with Stephen Sharp. He said he was excited for the game, of course. He's a loyal Republic fan, but he also likes how much attention the team's getting and the benefits that come with it. So here's what he told me.
Well, the fact that the team itself has been doing well on the field is definitely paid off as far as the popularity of this club, as far as getting more eyeballs, whether it's just fans on the ground or people who are investing in the team as well. And that's why it's awesome to see the stadium finally happening. And we've been close before and things have happened, but I think the way it's going down now, it's the way it's meant to be.
And some of the other fans we talked about earlier, Paul Filio and Kathy Lambert, also spoke to this. Filio said he was really interested to see what Wilton Rancheria is bringing to the table. He said they have a very creative ownership and they have different goals from what team ownership looked like before. And Lambert, she just said all of these new developments, a new stadium, new ownership, a new coach. It's a sign really that Sacramento soccer has truly arrived. And this is the community that's rallying around their team.
Yeah, it's like a new era. So finally, when is the next match? What is next for the Indomitable Club?
Yes. Yeah, so Sacramento season is not over yet, despite a Jägermeister Cup loss. The team did just qualify for the playoffs the 11th time out of 12 seasons. That was a midweek game last week. The players are really starting to focus now on their next game, which is this weekend. And ironically enough, it's a rematch against Hartford at Connecticut.
Get a redo.
Yes. So one of the players we heard from, Sacramento defender Lee Desmond, he said the feelings from the cup final are definitely going to give this match a little bit of an extra kick.
It's so hard to get to cup final. So just absolutely devastated for myself and for everybody, the players, the staff, the fans. But we're in a good position in the league. And, we all watched them lift the trophy. That's going to be motivation. And now we have to go and win the playoffs.
Well, thank you both for doing the heavy lifting, going to the final cup and joining us with a recap and why this is, bigger than soccer, which is also a big deal here in Sacramento.
Thanks, Vicky.
Thank you.
And that is Cap Radio reporter Chris Feltz and senior producer Sarit Lashinsky talking about Sacramento Republic FC. The Indomitable Club came up short in the Jägermeister Cup final at Hart Health Park over the weekend, but the moment wasn't an entire loss. It comes on the heels of big milestones for soccer fans and the city. Still ahead, Voices United for the Benefit of Community. We'll learn more about the mission of the Sacramento Women's Chorus. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.